Our scripture reading for today is found in Psalm 4. It's found in Psalm 4, so it'll be back here on the screen. Answer me when I call to you, O God. Answer me when I call to you. O God, who declares me innocent, free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will your people ruin my reputation? How long will you make groundless accusations? How long will you continue your lies? You can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Selah. Offer sacrifices in the right spirit and trust the Lord. Many people say, who will show us better times? Let your face smile on you. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. May God bless the reading of his word this morning as we learn from him.
Are these too big for my face?
Uh-huh. Well, now you look like the Unabomber.
Good.
What are you doing with Billy's squirt gun?
We followed the rules, and we got screwed. We were good people, honest people, and we got screwed!
What are you gonna do now? You gonna rob a bank or something?
We got screwed, over and over again, hon. Then I stole the lawn back, and you know what happened? We have a lawn now.
Yeah, but...
We're all just cavemen, trying to protect our little patch of land. When I have a club, and I'm gonna take what I need.
Maybe you should steal some Prozac.
Keep laughing, Jane. Keep laughing, okay? I'll be back soon with the loot.
Oh, no, I'm coming. I could have missed this for the world.
Suit yourself.
Besides, you're gonna need a good wheel, man.
Before I get started this morning, I just want to make an announcement. Yesterday, I had the privilege of officiating the wedding of Mark and Michelle. And so when you see them next time, they're husband and wife now. You can do everything right. They're not here. We'll clap for them next week, okay? You can do everything right, and still everything can go wrong. You can be faithful in your walk, and you can be a person of integrity, and you can still be accused of lying and cheating. And sometimes we just want to say to God, where in the world are you in all of this? And that's what David does for us. He shows us how to do it. So together we're going to look at this psalm, this lament of David, and hopefully we're going to learn to let our feelings be known to God. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take this message, that you would edit it first in me, and that only what you want heard will be heard. The Holy Spirit would be here to impress truth on us, to help us to repent and confess when we need to. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit would pour out your grace to empower us. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I think what I'm going to tell you this morning is that everything you ever learned about prayer is probably wrong. I remember becoming a brand new believer and my Sunday school teacher teaching me Acts. Anybody learn how to pray using the Acts method? Let me see your hand. There's a few of you. Basically, ACTS stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. That's how I was taught to pray. And to this day, 60 years later, I still remember it. The problem is, it may not be right. And let me tell you why. Because we've been taught that God is the King of the universe, and He is the King of the universe. And so that rationalization was used by those around me who were training me to be faithful to God, that when you go into the King's presence, you put on your best clothes. So I got a suit and I got a tie, and I wore them every Sunday because I was going into the presence of the King. And when you speak to the King, you speak to Him with great respect. And so the whole idea of lamenting and calling God out and telling Him what you're thinking and accusing Him of not showing up is sort of against the very nature of what I've been taught. And yet here is David doing it. We have to understand the difference. If the Queen of England were to come to this building, ladies and gentlemen, we would all stand. We would, if we knew she was coming, we'd all wear our very best clothes. And as she approached you, ladies, some of you would curtsy, however ladies do that. And the men would either bow their heads and nod to the Queen or salute if they had a military background. And the Queen would acknowledge those acts of deference. And all the time you could be standing there thinking, the monarchy is outdated. It should be abolished. We shouldn't have the Queen come to Canada at all. We should get rid of the whole monarchy, take all of that money and put it into helping the poor. You see, she sees your smile. She doesn't hear your thoughts. Does she? You can be totally opposed to the monarchy. You can meet the Prime Minister of Canada, and you could be totally opposed to him, and yet you will still address him as Mr. Prime Minister. The difference is the Queen has power but does not know your thoughts. God is the God of the universe, and He knows every single thought that you have. Every single one. When I was 16 or so, I asked a young lady to go out on a date with me. We were going out with the young people's group. We were going horseback riding, I believe. She was the daughter of my Sunday school teacher. And he called me up and met with me for lunch that week. He sat me down. And he said, "Don, don't ever ask my daughter out again. You are not the kind of man or the kind of person that is qualified to date my daughter." Man, that hit me between the eyes. I can remember thinking all that day, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not acceptable. I'm white trash. I'm never going to be good enough for the King of the universe to do anything for himself. And so late at night, I decided that the next morning I would go out and I would end my life by stepping in front of the train that went by close to our house. That was my solution. Because I was in that church, but I was not accepted. And I can remember that God heard all of that because He said, "I love you. Keep your eyes on me." And again, I can't tell you how that happened. I just felt this presence of Him. And at that moment, I realized that my pain, that I was thinking that I was talking to myself, that it was a private moment, that God was excluded and wasn't hearing my thought process, was a lie. That every single thought you have, He is present in. As a matter of fact, prayer is the most natural thing you will do. And so when you've had a really bad day, it is okay to say exactly what David says here. David looks at God and says, "Oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Basically, David is saying, he's saying that the world is saying to him over and over again, there is no help from God. And David is saying, where are you, God? Where are you? And we can be saying the same thing too. When we face a loved one going into a nursing home and it hurts and we know that we're not going to be able to go and visit them because of COVID, we can say, where are you, God? You can pour out that pain. It is an acceptable thing to do. When somebody takes and accuses you of something that is not true, and you know you can't defend yourself, you can pour out your heart and say, where are you, God? You see, our problem is we've got this idea that we can't approach God with our real self, that we somehow have to have a different compartment when we pray that is very respectful and very honoring and very adoration. We start with adoration, but it's not always true. David starts with the pain in his life. David starts with the fact that his son was rebelling against him. His son was trying to kill him. David starts with the fact that God loves him and that it's okay to tell God exactly what's happened. And the world will tell you, where is he? There's no help in God. He hears our every thought. The fires are raging in California, and the world says, where are you, God? God's not going to help Californians. You're on your own. The mother who finds a newborn baby who has passed away in the night. The world says, there is no help from God. And we can come and say, God, what do I do with this? What do I do when the world attacks you and I'm hurting? And the beautiful thing is that we can tell him exactly how we feel and how we are struggling. And then, of course, there's this word Selah that comes in here. The Psalms were the hymn book of Israel, their prayer book and hymn book. David was a musician. He wrote this and sang this. And Selah says, stop the music. Stop and think. Stop and look at this. There is a message that's going out that God will not help. Will you believe that message? Or will you by faith move forward? That's really what this psalm is saying. We pause. Our pause leads to grace that empowers our faith. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. What is that shield? That shield is God's grace. That shield is what empowers us to step out in faith. That shield is what is there when you get up in the morning and you have to face another day of COVID. It is the grace that empowers us to, by faith, take the next step. The nurses who by faith step out and go to the hospital, high risk to themselves and their families, and they work. Grace empowers you. I think of the university student who was leaving the library at night. It wasn't even that late. She's walking to her dorm room, and a man attacked her and raped her. And as he was raping her, she verbally out loud prayed that he would come to know the love of God. How in the world can anybody do that? That is God's grace empowering them. I think of the man whose 14-year-old son was shot and killed by another 14-year-old. And in the United States where it happened, there's a mandatory sentence that that child would have to serve as a minor. That this man, when that child's sentence was over, he adopted that child and took him into his home and raised him. That is the grace of God. That is the shield that God puts around you. David's shield was God's grace, and David could not bring himself to the thought that he would have to defeat his son and possibly kill his son to unite the kingdom. And David said, I'll do everything I can to avoid that, because that is grace. Grace is kindness. My glory and the lifter of my head, that's grace. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Stop the music. Stop and think. He shields us. He empowers us. That's his answer. Don't be afraid. You know, we live at a time when it's scary to go to the grocery store. You could get COVID at the grocery store. You get COVID sitting, waiting for the dentist. COVID is a reality. It is out there, and it is spreading. And it is grace that enables us by faith to even gather like we are today. You know? It's grace that empowers us by faith to take the next step, to go on, to keep going. It is grace that empowers us when our hearts are so broken and so shattered by the death of a loved one or the pain of someone who has cancer. Grace empowers us and shields us to take the next step of faith and to keep going. It is grace that allows us to lay down and sleep. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of the many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. We do not have to be afraid. We don't have to hide away and become hermits. This world needs grace, and you are the bearers of that grace. You know, grace is this amazing thing, and it's grace in the Old Testament is a word called hesed. Nobody really knows what it means. There are 167 different ways to translate grace in the Old Testament, and all of them are probably right. And interestingly enough, one of the most important parts of that is it is God's kindness. He was kind. So tomorrow, the next day, the day after, God has put a shield around you. So be kind. When somebody takes their shopping cart and throws it in the back behind your vehicle when you want to back out, instead of getting up and giving them a finger or saying some things that you shouldn't give them, say to them, look at them and say, well, thank you. I hope you have a nice day. That's kind. That's grace. Go the extra mile. Do the extra thing. And then we take the time to thank him for being in our life. Arise, O Lord, save me, O Lord, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek and break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. And again, stop. Realize how much he's given you. Little Tim got a slingshot for his birthday. They were visiting Grandma, and Grandma had a favorite duck, and Tim took his slingshot and killed the duck. So he took the duck and he hid it in the woodpile, hoping that no one had seen. But his older sister saw what happened. And so that night at dinner, when Grandma said to his sister, it's time for you to do the dishes, she said, well, Tim will do the dishes. And she whispered to Tim, remember the duck. Later on, when the groceries had to be brought from the car, and Grandma said to his sister, bring the groceries, she said, Tim will bring the groceries. And she whispered to Tim, remember the duck. when things had to be done in the barn, and it had to be raked out from the horses and the cows and stuff, and just farm stuff. It was her turn, and she said to Tim, "Remember the duck." He said, "I'll do it." And that went on for days and days and days. And finally, he couldn't take it anymore, so he went to Grandma and he said, "Grandma, I killed your duck." And Grandma said, "I know. I saw you do it." And he said, "Will you forgive me?" She said, "I forgave you the moment you did it. I was waiting to see how long you would let your sister guilt you into all kinds of things you didn't want to do." You see, that's grace. If you are a person who is addicted to pornography, you're not hiding it from God. God already knows. Just confess it. He's already forgiven you. He understands you like no one else does. If you are a woman who is full of bitterness because of your past, you're not hiding that from God. God knows you. You are an open book to Him. You have no pages that are stuck together that He has not read. He knows absolutely every single detail of your life. And He loves you. And He has forgiven you. Even before you ask, He's waiting for you just to come to Him and say, "Lord, save me from me." That's the message that God brings to us, that David brings to us. You can lament. And if you really want to see a great lament, go to Psalm 108. I mean, that's a rip-roaring lament when David just lets it all loose. This is kind of a smaller one. But lamenting is totally acceptable because he's heard it anyways. Praying is every thought you have. Praying is everything you look at, every reaction you have to it. God understands and hears it, and He loves you. When you see the pretty woman walk by and you have lustful thoughts, God knows that. Just ask for forgiveness. When you are hurt by people's words, ask God to empower you to forgive them and turn the other cheek. Seek Him out. Don't be afraid to say, "Those words hurt me. They hurt me as a teenager when I couldn't date this girl. People have hurt me my whole life. And it is only when I give that hurt to God and say, 'God, without your help, this will just absolutely crush me. So empower me to keep going.'" That is the message of this psalm to us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that David was so real, that he knew you in a way that sometimes we don't. Thank you that you know our every thought, that we hide nothing from you, and that you are always ready and willing to express your salvation and your grace in our lives. Father, we thank you for the financial gifts you've given us, and we give back to you today that you might use it for your honor and glory. And as we come together around the table this morning, as we celebrate the gift of your Son and his death, I pray, Father, that we would open our hearts to that grace in areas that we're hiding, that we hurt, and we would just let it wash over us. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to call the servers to